Our scripture reading will be taken from Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. And when you have it, say amen. Again, that's Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Haran, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Together.
And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lack, will I save you, and deliver the Midianites to thy hand, and all of the people will come, every man to his place.
You may be seated. We are going to be talking this morning about expecting the unexpected. Expecting the unexpected. But first and foremost, before we get into that, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And I want to say also it's an honor to be a father. Amen. It's not taking anything away from a mother, but I take it, or I see it as an honor to be even considered by my father that I may become a father. It's a good thing to have a father who will bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's a good thing as a father to be an example to raise your children, and an honor to be that example. All it takes to be a man is to be born a male. But being born a male doesn't make you a father. Even when you have the nerve to change your gender, you may consider yourself a male, but it doesn't make you a man, and it doesn't make you a father.
A father's a man who meets the responsibilities, one who encourages, one who corrects, gives love as needed to their children, one who meets the challenges of a father and does not run from them challenges. A father is a faithful man, one who provides, protects, sacrifices where it is needed. And I know you say, or some will say, well, I as a mother have done all those things, but still, it does not make you a father. These are only a few of the things that come along with being a father. But I'm glad when it comes to a father, I have the Father of truth and life as my father, and not the father of lies and death. Amen. Oh, I wonder if you hear me today. My Heavenly Father is the provider and not a liar. What comes from my Father can be expected and not unexpected. Did you hear me? See, some things come unexpected, but my Father has provided me with everything that is needed, that whatever is needed is not an unexpected, but I can expect it. Yes. Who's ever gotten ready to go on vacation only to find out before you go something happens? That's that unexpected, huh? Just before you're ready to go, you run into the unexpected. It doesn't stop the vacation, but it causes minor adjustments in your plans of what you're going to do. Well, saints, life is full of minor changes and adjustments. In our life, the unexpected comes. Some good, some not so good. But we must recognize it is not the end of the world. When something unexpected comes that we did not expect, it's not the end of the world. But in Christ, with our Father, we can expect and say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He just knows how to make things better. Huh? When the tears flow, he knows how to dry them up. Or when it's needful to let the tears flow, he allows them and comforts us. He makes it all right. We are living in a time we will see some unexpected things. Amen to the carpet. I mean, I know some of us have already seen some unexpected things. It comes and all you can say is, well, I didn't see that coming. But in order to defuse the unexpected, we must prepare for it. We must make the proper preparations so what is unexpected will not be unexpected, but expected. Amen. When you see something coming, or when you are warned of its coming, you know how to handle it. Huh? If somebody picks up a rock and you watching them and they throw the rock at you, you know how to handle it. Duck. But if you don't see it coming, it's called unexpected. And you may get an unexpected hickey on your head. If not bleeding, if not knocked out. How many of y'all know even when two individuals get up and they going to box and they going to do this and they jab, and when that person gets knocked out, he got hit with something that was unexpected. He didn't see the uppercut. I didn't see that left hand coming. Unexpected. Expected means to look forward to the occurrence. to entertain at least a slight belief that an event will happen. You entertain it at least slightly that it's going to happen. How many entertain at least slightly that you will be persecuted and tried? Saints, as long as you're breathing, a trial is coming.
Yeah. Amen.
Go on to entertain it slightly, believe it. But if you prepare for it, it will not be unexpected.
Amen.
When I learn to look forward to something, you can make the negative occurrence into a positive one. Because you have the tools, you see it coming, you know how to deal with it. When I take the guessing out of expecting it means no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's not going to happen. So now my trials work out for my good. And that's what we really want. It's a trial if something happened, but I want it to work for my good. When I take the U in out of unexpected, it means the unexpected will not be a surprise. Now, I know when it's your birthday, you want the unexpected. You want to be surprised. Huh? This is Father's Day, and the fathers want that unexpected new pair of socks. He want that unexpected tie or just a card with saying, I love. He is looking for the unexpected. But a lot of times what he gets is the unexpected or get nothing.
Right.
When I got up this morning, I received an unexpected. Went into my office and there was a card. Unexpected but expected. And inside the card was love. Unexpected but expected. I was surprised but not surprised. Saints, how many of y'all know when you learn to drive, you have to drive and expect the unexpected to happen? Any drivers in here today?
Amen.
Have you recognized you have to expect the unexpected?
Yeah.
Now, why do I say that? Because everybody with license cannot drive.
Yeah.
Huh? Some people drive and are distracted with all kinds of things. It don't just necessarily have to be they distracted with their phone. Some are distracted eating. Some are distracted with their hair. Some are distracted with the things they see going around them. There was an accident and they were distracted and caused an accident. And then there are some people that just can't drive. So even though you are in the right, expect the unexpected. So you will not be hit from a distraction or a driver that cannot drive. Saints, Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We don't know when, but when he does come, it will be unexpected. Because no man knows the day or the hour. However, we can be prepared for his coming because the signs are already posted. They are telling us what to expect before his arrival. There are things simply happening that we know his soon coming is soon, even though it is going to be unexpected. I can expect it to happen. We've been given a map, provided with directions, given a GPS known as the Spirit of God, who will lead us and guide us. And when we get off of track, he will tell us, turn around, take this detour, get back on the right road. Everything we need is outlined so the unexpected will not overtake us as a thief in the night. Now, let me ask it this way. When a person joins the armed forces called the military, one of the first things they teach you is basic training. Then you get special training. During the training, they teach you to expect the unexpected. They train you for it. I remember in basic training, they were teaching us how to properly put on a gas mask. Now, because in a time of war, the enemy does not play fairly. If you ever played a game you was really concerned and interested in, and the person you was playing didn't play fairly, they gave you an unexpected. Well, we agree the enemy doesn't play fair. So while we were being instructed how to put on the gas mask and what the gas mask would do, somebody hollered, "Gas!" And all this smoke began to overpower us. Now, what happened was some of the folks that knew what to do began to take their gas mask out and put it over their face in order to be cleared and could breathe clearly. But folks like me pulled the mask out, and as I was putting the mask on, I was running for fresh air. But they teach you not to run, because when you run, you're running into the danger of the enemy. Put your mask on so you can handle the unexpected. I didn't do that. Saints, we are not supposed to run away from the devil. When you run into danger, not out of danger. We are not supposed to beat the devil running. When you run, you don't run out of danger, you run into danger. When you run, he will only catch you around the corner. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Satan don't have a mask, so he gonna have to run when he hears the word of God. In order to properly fight the enemy, we must know who the enemy is. Would you agree? Amen. We must know the turf of the enemy. We must know his devices. Yet still, even though we know who he is, even though we recognize his turf and game, even though we see and understand his devices, we still must be ready to expect the unexpected. As we evolve into bigger and better, remember the enemy's devices are still the same. What will hurt you in 1998 will hurt you in 2018. We must continue to study. We must continue to stand fast. We must continue to stay focused. So just like there are soldiers in the army naturally, I want you to understand God has soldiers in his army spiritually. When we are born again, we enlist into his army. God does not draft people. And he does not have a lottery. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it was just my call. When I graduated from high school, I went to college and got put in the lottery and got a 200 something number. Dropped out of college for 1 year, got re-evaluated, and had a number of 61. And what do you think they did in February? They called me. I got greetings from Uncle Sam, and I never considered him as my uncle. No kind of way. But all of a sudden, he became part of my family. In God's army, there is a basic training. It's called being a babe in Christ. You take or drink the sincere milk of the word. We get our special training by the word of God. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belong to them that are of full age. We too are taught and trained how to recognize the enemy. We learn what is his turf and his devices. 1 John says that love not the world nor the things in the world. It also explains that the in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are one of the turfs or areas that the enemy works in. These are one of the turfs and areas that we need to make sure we stay away from. But it seems like these are the turfs and areas that we enjoy running into the most. These are the areas that the enemy uses to trap God's people. However, it says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Everything that's coming our way, if we would study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, we will see the devices reveal themselves to us that we can walk away from them rather than running into them. They will become now expected rather than unexpected. Amen. Ain't the Lord good, saints? This training is necessary so we won't be overtaken by the unexpected, but that we may be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, in Judges, the Lord was directing Gideon to fight the Midianites. And for God, there were more people there than what he wanted to prove his victory over. There were just entirely too many people, because with all the people, they're just simply saying, God did it. But God wanted to show them just how wonderful and powerful he is. And recognizing that the battle was already fought. The victory was already won. They just needed to experience how God works. Do you see your battle already fought today? Amen. Do you recognize that you're going to have some battles? You're going to have some unexpected things come up? But do you see them as already fought? Do you see them as victory has already been won? Do you understand that all you need really is to experience what God is going to do in your life? It's coming. I might as well expect, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's coming. And I already know that I am victorious. So we just need to let it manifest itself because it's already done. Now, in verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. I mean, I'm getting ready to battle. I know even when you in a gang or you in a group, you know, and you got a whole bunch of folks, you say, hey, we can handle this. Now, somebody going to come up and tell you, now, you got too many folks. Wait a minute, I got too many folks. I want to make sure that there's going to be a victory here. Don't tell me I got too many. But Lord told Gideon, you got too many. Now, we have the army, naturally. We have the Navy. We have the Air Force. We have the Marines. We have the National Guard. Now, if we was about to go to war, and the president come up and say, no, you can't use the army. Wait a minute, I can't use. You just got to send the National Guard. What you trying to prove? You ain't even been in the service yourself. But we have these to operate for us. But do you understand that God also has types of military? He has all kinds that he can use. In 1 Kings, God says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed down under Baal. He also said in Judges, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, them left-handed ones. Huh? I mean, you righties throw and don't know what you're throwing at, but these left ones throw at a hair and don't miss. Let me pick up a rock and bust you in the head. You better be looking. Ain't the Lord good? So God chooses and uses as many as he needs and who he needs. And whatever number he desires, it's called victory. Now, in this situation, if God would have used all the people, Israel would not have given him the glory. And the Midianites would have said, God is the only one that did it. But God, I don't know what, God always has to prove himself. He proved me. And he never fails. So, just like in some of our situations, if God did the way we wanted it, we would not give him the glory. We would always have some kind of excuse or reason saying, well, the Lord didn't do it. You know, we had these massive folks and we just took them. So, here's what it says in verse 3. God says, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early. Let him leave. Gideon started out with what, 32,000? And 22,000 of them was afraid. Huh? You'd have lost a number there, right? So that means he was left with 10,000. If God said this to a mega church, all you in here that are fearful and not faithful, go ahead and leave. What would it look like when they finish? I wonder. People say, I am with you. People say, I got your back. But when trials come, they get fearful. When something is needed, they become unfaithful. They struggle and there becomes plenty room. What the church is experiencing today is some are fearful and are afraid to trust what God is saying. Others struggle with being faithful because they have other things that they desire to do. Some step up to the plate, others run from the plate. But God is teaching us so that the fearless can teach the fearful. The faithful can teach the faithless. So the unexpected can be expected. So in verse 3, what we look at now, there remains 10,000. But in verse 4, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Hold on now. Look, Lord, we done went from 32, lost 22, end up with 10,000, and you gonna tell me that we still got too many folks. What kind of operation are you trying to run here? And mind you, if you just look in verse 12, it tells us that the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the sea for the multitude. There was a whole lot of folks sitting there waiting to fight, and I done gone from 32,000 to 10,000, and you still telling me I got too many folks. God says you have too many. Then God tells Gideon, bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for you. I am going to select. I'm going to pick out the very ones that are going to go to battle. Because the ones that I pick out are the ones that will know how to expect the unexpected. Ones that have prepared themselves. I mean, can you see what Father is even doing with us? That he is preparing you that you can expect the unexpected. So whatever happens, whatever circumstances, whatever thing comes up on you, you are going to expect it and you are going to be victorious. So in verse 5, God says, everyone that laps up the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall you set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. So what he's saying is, when you bow down on your knees, you cannot see your surroundings because you bend and put your face in the water. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you get down on your knees, put your head down to get the water, you have no idea what's around you. In fact, you are exposing the rest of your body, just like when an ostrich puts his head in the sand. But when you bring the water to your mouth with your hand, you are alert and can expect the unexpected. You are aware of your surroundings because you're taking the water and you're drinking and you can look and see whatever's going on. But when you drown your head in the water, your ears can't even hear what's happening. God know how to pick them, don't he? In verse 6 it said, and the number of them that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So guess what that means? Y'all got to go. So the Lord told Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Now, here's the beautiful thing in this battle. This is what Gideon did. He only got 300, right? But Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand. So you only got 300. We're going to take 100 here. We're going to take 100 here. I said 100. And 100 here. And I'm going to put a trumpet in every one of y'all hands. And when I tell you to sound the trumpet, sound off. Verse 22 says, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. Who wouldn't serve a God? I mean, just 300. And I'm going to get rid of all of y'all. I mean, you know, something, all it takes is one to flee and everybody follows suit. Huh? When a lion, or when that comes after his game, if one of them hears and runs, everybody going to follow suit. And don't be in the way because you're going to get trampled. If God be for us, Who can be against us? We are more than conquerors. We are victorious. We are the people of God, the children of the Most High. Let's stop being the victim and start being the victor. Let's not complain, but start testifying. Let's stop following others and become the leaders of others. Let's take what we have been taught and start teaching those who need to be taught. If anybody is down, let's pick them up. Let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Let the weak say that I'm strong. If you are sad, find somebody that's rejoicing. Oh, come on, somebody. If you are rejoicing, help somebody that is sad. Let's be positive and stop being negative. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Ecclesiastes says, for God giveth a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can we close with this verse in Jude 1, 24 and 25? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.